Well, hello everybody, it's Saibal Sen from India Startup Talk, and today's topic is enabling a private 5G network, India's own neural networks. So our guest today is Abhijit Chowdhury, founder of Neural Network. And as the name suggests, 5G network solution. So what does that mean? But before I go into that, I want to give you a little quick introduction on how I came across Abhijit and Neural Networks. And it all started with me getting on board for a competition at the Department of Telecoms. And the department was Telecom Center of Excellence, TCOE. There was a grant competition going on. And when I came on board, there were about 200 companies. Phenomenal. They were all very, very interesting, and about, I think, a handful of companies, or maybe about 13 or 14 companies got selected, and one of them was Neural Networks. So Neural Networks is all about private 5G. So I want to quickly explain what private 5G is. Even before I can explain what is private 5G, I want to tell you a little about, tell you about what is 5G itself, right? So 5G is the next generation of mobile networks. And the best way I can describe it to get you excited is, if you recall, when we went from 3G to 5G, we had a kind of like an industry disruption with companies like Uber and Zoom coming to fore. And I'm saying that I think it's going to be even more exciting. If 4G gave us companies like that, imagine what 5G can do, right? But what is 5G? Well, obviously there's much higher speeds. We were talking about at least 100 times faster. We're talking about 1 gig to 100 gig speeds in 5G. But that's not it. The more exciting part, the most exciting part, is the low latency. We'll get more and more into it, but low latency just means that delays in the network packets going back and forth. And what that enables is real-time computing, okay? Meaning like robotics, like IoT, drones, anything that's moving around and it needs super fast response times is low latency. And Abhijit will explain more about that. Another component is edge computing. It's bringing the computing horsepower in the cloud much closer to you. It's more secure, and obviously it's lower cost. Now, what is private 5G? So you don't have to depend on an operator like an Airtel or AT&T or Verizon, wherever you are, to give you this 5G network. Now it's possible to create your own private 5G, and that's what Neural is all about, right? And you might say, hey, well, I got Wi-Fi, so I got mobility, but that's not real mobility, because Wi-Fi has insufficient latency. There's issues with handover from one access point to another, and so on and so forth. So this is going to blow all that away, basically. And the last but not least is, it's much more affordable, because everything is software and is running on a generic platform. So Abhijit, I've been hogging the airspace here. Anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, thank you, Saibal, for the introduction. And yeah, I think 5G is a revolution. I mean, you have covered most of the part about the technology. One thing I would also like to bring in, that 5G will also enable monetization. When you talk about the 4G's, the operators has been used like a pipe. Like, the monetization has been generally with the over-the-top players, whereas the bandwidth was given by the operators. But in 5G, and especially with private 5G, I think there is a good opportunity for the operators also to make a lot of monetization or money out of that. So, yes.
Great. Yeah. We'll talk about a use case as well. Well, thank you for that. So I want to dwell a little bit on your background and Neural Network's background. So tell me a little bit about your own background. And I also want to have you touch upon what made you start this company, Neural Network, and what sort of progress have you made since then? So please.
Yes, so I have around 2 decades of experience, especially working in the telecom and networking domain, worked with companies like Motorola, Cisco, also with Huawei. And in the last 5-6 years, I had been consulting as an independent through my company, which was called eTrans Network, where we have directly worked with operators, helping them build their own product, which is an alternate to the OEM products. And predominantly that was because even the operators to build open and disaggregated solutions using open software and open hardware, where they don't have their solution need not be locked into the vendor. So that has something that we have worked with the operators earlier through my previous company, and predominantly in the consulting space. But that's where the idea of neural networks came. Like we found that there is a huge need to build solutions which are open, and that would actually enable the customers, not only the operators, but even other customers like the enterprises, to really build solutions which are open. And you can see examples of that with like cloud providers, right? Cloud providers like the big threes like Amazon, Google, they use open solutions. They basically build products on open hardware, and they have been disrupting and have been moving really fast with the kind of disruption that they are bringing in technology. Compared to operators, they are pretty fast. So I think that is what enabled us to start Neural Network.
Nice. And what about how far have you come since you started? Like, what stage are you in? And did you, apart from the recognition you got, obviously, with the TCOE grant, I believe there are some other accolades that your company has received recently. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So we have been, when we started the company, we were focused on disaggregated and open networking. But as you rightly pointed out, with time and understanding the market better, we specifically are focusing on the private 5G market. And we have around like paying customers at this point with whom we are working on the private 5G space. And we have around like 15 partners with whom we are working, basically from the go-to-market perspective, plus for a technology perspective too. Like, we have been recognized recently by Aegis Graham Bell Award, which is one of the as a 5G innovation for our work that we did on 5G innovation. And this award is specifically given to companies who do technology disruption in the telecom, networking, and like deep tech space. Also, we are part of the NASSCOM deep tech product space, where they have selected around, I think, 22 companies, and we are one of them.
Phenomenal.
So yeah, it has been going good, actually.
Excellent. This is really good progress. Okay, so let's now get into the meat of our podcast. The first thing I'd like to ask you, Abhijit, is can you tell us where is the excitement? Which part of the industry where you think 5G, or particularly private 5G, would be, you know, very interesting, useful, and would see the most adoption, you know, in terms of which industries, location characteristics, and even, you know, geography, where in the world. So break it down for us, you know, it would be great.
Yes, we feel private 5G would be useful for the use cases which needs mobility. I mean, by mobility, I mean which needs outdoor or indoor mobility. Like probably the devices are moving, so you need to also ensure that the applications which are running on the mobile devices can work with low latency and also in some cases high bandwidth. So, and this use cases are where we see it fits in best is I think the manufacturing. In manufacturing, you have some mission critical work being done, and latency becomes very, very important in such use cases. And at this point, they are predominantly using proprietary solutions. Private 5G would be a good alternate solution for them. And because private 5G would also support mobility, so they can use it on even the mobile devices. So private 5G definitely, manufacturing I definitely think is one of the key use cases for private 5G. The other important use cases would be on the healthcare. I think there would be a lot of revolutions coming up in the healthcare industry, and there too, private 5G would play a critical role. Of course, any use cases which relates to remote operation, like where you can basically sitting at your home, you can like operate the manufacturing plant or some devices, you would need AR, VR capability. For that, you would need like private 5G kind of connectivity, especially using from the data center, you should be able to manage the plants remotely. I mean, so there also, I think the private 5G would be very key.
Right.
I think these are the three or four important spaces where private 5G would play an important role. The other, apart from the manufacturing, the other places where it will play an important role is the places which is unconnected. Let's say a rural area, I mean, or a mountainous area, or probably near the border region, right? Where you probably don't have the operator's connectivity available at this point.
Right.
So at those junctions, you can create a private 5G network. Let's say in a rural network, rural area, you can create a private 5G and enable digitization in that rural area. And you can run like education, like healthcare, banking services on that private 5G network, even when it is unconnected from the internet or intermittently connected to the WAN internet. So these are things which can be enabled.
I want to add that at the risk of repetition, that the distinction between public 5G and private 5G, as you rightfully pointed out, that if it's a rural area away from the reach of a public network provider like a Jio or an Airtel or an AT&T, the two key things here is that, first of all, if the public 5G is not, you know, there for you to use, then private 5G sort of comes to the rescue by implementing solutions like your company's neural network software, which you can buy some generic hardware and put it on it, and you can create your private 5G network to do all the things that you can do within the campus or within the confines of your private enterprise. So the examples that you're giving, then I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, Abhijit, is the low-hanging fruit here are the military, you know, the campuses, the shipyards, factory location. What else? What else do you see in the excitement factor in the enterprise category?
Yes, I think you rightly pointed out, like apart from that, I mean, you can see all the kind of industry 4.0 use cases, right? Which may include shipping, mining, oil and gas. So all these spaces where you need a, like when you talk about shipping or mining, the area is really big, right? And it's important that you have a good connectivity, because using that connectivity, I mean, you can manage or monitor remotely for example, in the mining, sitting outside the mining area, probably in one of the IT hub within that mining premises, you can basically do some remote operations inside the ground, I mean, within the mine. So those things would be enabled through private 5G. So, I mean, similarly, oil and gas, refineries, I mean, all the industry 4.0 use cases are can be disrupted. I think the digitization of those operation technology for industry 4.0, private 5G is a very, very good way to enable digitization there.
Maybe you should, I mean, I touched upon it very briefly that Wi-Fi doesn't equate to mobility and industry 4.0. Maybe just for the sake of the audience, you can quickly explain one more time why Wi-Fi and existing wireless technologies are simply not the same as a 5G network. Can you quickly explain how this is different?
So talk about Wi-Fi, right? So Wi-Fi predominantly when it was built for indoor usage. And like within the distance that Wi-Fi can cover, the Wi-Fi would be around 50 meters that you can cover. Now, when you have a mining area, right, which is such a big area, maybe 2-3 square kilometers on the smaller side, it actually is much, much bigger than that. So just imagine the amount of Wi-Fi radios that you have to put and how to really orchestrate between them. So it will be humongous. Like you will need like maybe hundreds to thousands of such Wi-Fi cells to cover just 2-3 square kilometers. And it would become very costly, I mean, to such a deploy. In fact, I think it's not feasible to do that. But using private 5G, you just put like each macro cell, if you put, it can cover around 1 square kilometer, let's say. So you can put 3 cells and cover around 3 square kilometer plus area. So it's much, and you also get the mobility, which you cannot get on like the Wi-Fi, the mobility outdoors. So it kind of takes care of all the needs for that outdoor connectivity with mobility. And on top of that, it supports low latency. So you can run the mission critical edge applications within the small IT office within that mining premise, and you can run the kind of mission critical applications or use cases that you want to digitize your mining area or the oil and gas or refinery.
Right. So let's, then the question comes to my mind that folks particularly in the enterprise, okay, their question might be like, why should I move to private 5G? And the kind of things that are going on in their minds is, you know, what's the return on investment, the ROI? What is the potential ROI? Where will I save the money? Where will I see the payback, right? So maybe you can walk us through like an interesting use case that you can think of that explains why the existing, you know, technologies like Wi-Fi or, you know, private LTE or WiMAX will not be able to do what you are describing can be done with a private 5G network, right? And then explain, like, for example, if you were to do it without private 5G, it would cost you this much or would pose these challenges. And now that you're doing it with 5G, a private 5G, you know, here are the savings and the new features possible. So can you give us an example like that?
Yeah, sure. Let's take an example of, let's say, a refinery. I mean, refinery, which again, maybe around two, I mean, at least 2-3 square kilometer, it should be, it can be much bigger than that. So in the refineries, you would probably need to ensure that there is no leakages, and you need to ensure that the operations are going smoothly. You have to monitor all the devices as well as the pipes, there should not be any leakages, etc. So for that, especially for the pipe leakage, etc., you can have drones which are fitted with video cameras, and the drones would be moving around the full the 2-3 square kilometer radius of the refinery, and and taking the videos, and you basically feed the videos through the private 5G network to the data center or the IT hub within that refinery, and there you run the edge applications, which can be video analytics, AI based pattern recognition to figure out whether there is any leakage within the refinery, because those are very key and very important to be controlled. It can not only lead to revenue loss, but also calamities where you can lose human life. So it's very important. So now, to do that use case with Wi-Fi, I think we discussed in the last question. If you have to cover that with Wi-Fi, it's actually, I think, not feasible to do. I mean, because of the huge area. I mean, cost comes later. I mean, feasibility itself, it would be very difficult to do.
Yeah, now, as you mentioned before, yeah.
And now coming to 5G, 4G, for example. 4G, traditionally 4G has been very proprietary. You don't use edge compute was never part of 4G. It was not, there are private networks available, but it was not designed for private networks with edge compute, edge data centers, etc.
So I would like to say that maybe you can, for the sake of audience, you can explain quickly what edge computing is, because I think it's key to understand how it's helping here in 5G.
Right. Yeah, I'm very, very important question, and thanks for bringing that. So when you talked about edge is you are disaggregating the applications which are running in the, for example, the video analytics that I was talking. In 4G, what would have happened is that the drone which was taking that video feed would have sent it to the cloud for the video analytics, which can be in the Amazon or on the Azure. The analytics would be done on the Azure or Amazon, and then you would have got back the response. Now it actually goes to the internet and comes back. So there is a WAN traffic, and the latency of the WAN traffic is unknown. It can be very high. And then you cannot run mission critical applications. Because by the time you get the response, a calamity may have happened, or you are not maneuvering the device according to switching off or switching on. You're not doing the right decision at the right time. So for that, you need to, especially for low latency, you have to ensure that the end-to-end, the packet, the connectivity or the round trip time is within for some mission critical application, the limit would be within 10 milliseconds. To guarantee such 10 millisecond kind of latency, you really cannot go to the WAN, because once you go to the internet or to the outside the enterprise premise, you have no control on the latency. So you have to have the application or a smaller version of the application running within the enterprise for the video analytics, which would do most of the operation. Only for some specific information you can go to the cloud, but all the real-time processing should be done within the premise. And that is how the cloud gets disaggregated, and part of the cloud application moves into the edge, and within the data center or hub within the premises, and that is what is called an edge. So which runs a part or the same application, but a smaller version of that, which would basically be real time and do the analytics and give the feedback to the drone, for example, for the surveillance in real time within 10 millisecond kind of latency. So
basically the compute platform, the your server, instead of being far away, it's much closer to where you are. So that's a tremendous benefit for real-time applications, because the round-trip journey and the delay and the time it takes is far, far lower, which is critical in mission-critical and real-time applications. Like this drone is sending all the video images to the edge server, where it's getting processed and it's being returned back very, very quickly. So based on the results of the analytics, the drone can then take appropriate action, right? And if there was no 5G, no edge network, the compute platform has to sit on the drone. It will make it bigger, heavier, more expensive, uses more battery, right? But with 5G, it can be much, much lighter and push off all the heavy compute to the edge computing platform, which is very close in terms of network delays. As I said, that reduces the delays and therefore makes real-time applications possible. Like even a self-driving car, right, would tremendously benefit from a 5G network.
Right, right. Yes, very rightly put. Like the self-driving autonomous guided vehicles, you need to, not only drive the car, you also have to ensure that the other vehicles or the traffic or like has to be, you have to take action based on the environment, and that needs it to be kind of like low latency, and you can offload all these analytics, collecting the data of all the other environment along with the vehicle to be done on the edge server, which is running and which would do the analytics and send you the response, like and based on that you can take the action, which can be to stop the car or based on the traffic signal start or move left, etc. So that is very important, and I think it has a huge ROI impact out here. Like, see, in a factory or that kind of places, you can be having like maybe 50 to like drones to monitor the whole area, or you may have in a warehouse like hundreds of robots or autonomous guided vehicles which are moving. Now, if you offload the company and the to the edge servers, so then that means you don't need the compute or the analytics to be done in the devices, like the autonomous guided vehicles or the drone.
Right.
So that
right.
way you need less RAM, you need less compute power. So automatically the cost reduces, and then because you are not doing the compute, your battery power also increases. So there is a lot of benefit. I think the benefit is on the power of almost 70% compared to doing all the compute by yourself when you kind of aggregate over so many devices, right? So you can get an ROI at, on the cost of around 70%, and then the maintenance also reduces because then the all the compute is offloaded. So it's the edge center, you have to data center.
That's pretty big numbers, 70%. That's impressive, right? So you know what, I actually have a short case study, a use case that I can narrate here. Just yesterday I was reading the New York Times, and they are talking about Amazon, who have bought Whole Foods, which is a grocery company in the US. And they've just enabled a grocery is completely hands-free. And there's the concept of edge computing at play in real-time applications, just to make the audience understand that what's happening in this grocery store, gone completely hands-free. So you walk into the store, a customer just holds up their palm, it recognizes who you are and gets all your account details. You walk in with your shopping cart, you're moving around, okay, and then you pick up anything you want, your fruits, your vegetables, your milk, cheese. You just go around, pick up, and there are these cameras placed all over in this grocery store, multiple cameras that are creating 3D images, processing 3D images of what the customer is picking up and putting in their basket, and they literally walk out. Now, how is this being enabled? It's edge computing at play, because all these cameras are continuously sending these images to back-end processing, which can't be too far away because it has to be close to where the grocery store is, because it's giving real-time information and is able to recognize your objects, is being able to, you know, see that, you know, it's being put in their basket and they can just walk out. So where's the ROI? So the ROI here is, as you know, groceries are losing a lot of money with theft. So it's eliminating theft. There's no need to train staff in terms of, you know, stocking the shelves, because where things are and the checkout counters, there's very few people there. There's a lot of labor saving there. Marking the price, that's also labor intensive, because the back-end computer knows, you know, what object you're picking up, what food item you're picking up, and they already have a price database, so they don't have to put it on the object, you know, the food item itself. And so, you know, this is exciting. Like, and imagine all this if you introduce the mobility concept in it, then it becomes even more complex. That these cameras are actually sitting on the roof somewhere in a fixed location, but if you were to put them on a drone or a moving vehicle, then you have this, you know, additional challenge of mobility. So that's why, you know, 5G is very, very exciting. So with that said, let me move on to the next question about a little bit about the technology. And I think this is your forte here, Abhijit, because you created this software. Tell us what is happening with the advent of 5G and private G. What is it doing to the data center as we know it? Okay, like the data center is in a central location. You talked about moving to the edge. There's also, maybe you can touch upon, because everything is software, there's tremendous opportunity of orchestration, which means, you know, doing everything in software, one triggers the other. You know, that's the concept of orchestration. So tell us, what will it do to the data center and what will it do to the networks that are connected to the data center? Any thoughts on that, implications?
Yes, Saibal. So like we had probably discussed a little bit of that on the edge and the cloud, like to start with earlier. But I think what is happening, and we can see that 5G, if you see 5G, right, it's intelligence is totally moving to the software. You have hardware inside 5G, but that's kind of the radio. But anything else, all the intelligence are moving in the software. Now, based on the latency, you have to place the software at different kind of places. Like some software has to be on the edge, some has to be, in the cloud, can be on the cloud. So the positioning of them can be different. Some of the edge care, like the software, can be placed in the regional data center, which is between the cloud and the premise, the in-premise or in the enterprise edge. So, but all of this intelligence, if you see, are coming to the software. And when you talk about software, the other important thing is that we can run this software in commercial off-the-shelf hardware. We are no more running them in like proprietary hardware. Probably only the radio part, again, I would mention the radio would on the proprietary hardware, but anything else is on software, and most or like almost 90% would be running on like commercial off-the-shelf hardware. Now, why I put a 10%, like 90, not 100, is that the radio itself, like to start with in 5G, is getting disaggregated. Earlier we had this macro cells, but now, which we used to call in 4G, E-node B, and in 5G, we also call it G-node B. But as part of 5G and softwareization that I call about for 5G, what is happening is that the radio itself is getting divided into three parts. One is the RU, which is the radio unit, which is the physical radio, which would be there, but its work is mainly to get the signals, do the analog to digital conversion, some Fourier transformation, but that's it. After that, any other the baseband processing, which was earlier in the LTE, in the 4G era, being done on the same hardware, is now getting offloaded to an hardware, offloaded to a commercial off-the-shelf box, we call it the DU, the distributed unit. And then we have another unit which is totally on the cloud, which or on a regional data center, which for the radio, which we call it the centralized unit. And this I am speaking mostly of the public 5G, not really the private 5G, because this radio disaggregation is more relevant, I think, in the public 5G. So, and the DU, I mean, I talked about RU, which is the radio in 5G. Then you have the DU. The DU would need some hardware acceleration, which because it's still radio and like layer two of the radio, some amount of hardware acceleration may be required. Initially, I told that 10% of that cannot be done on the commercial of the cell. So for 10%, I mean, especially the DU, there may be some hardware acceleration required for the packet processing. But that can be done with FPGAs, like Intel FPGAs can support that, or Xilinx FPGAs can be put in as an add-on card to the commercial of the cell hardware, and you can do that acceleration. So apart from that, the 90% of the other radio part and the core, of course, all of them can be done on commercial of the cell hardware. So that way the software disaggregation is, or the hardware disaggregation is so keen, important. So you can buy the radio from one vendor, you can buy the commercial of the cell hardware servers, like which can be from any of the well-known OEMs like HP, Dell, etc. And then on top of that, you can put the radio software from one of the radio vendors, and you can put the core software, which actually is the 5G packet core, or like in which is used to manage the mobility management, and that is predominantly done in software. That can be from another vendor. So you can choose anybody's hardware, you can choose anybody's software and create a solution. So that brings a lot of power to the ultimate customer. So you don't have to really depend on a proprietary OEM for the entire solution, which has been predominantly the case in like still 4G. Like if one operator takes a solution from one OEM, he has to take it for one circle, like for one territory, you take the entire solution only from that company, because he cannot take someone's hardware and someone's software and integrate. It would be a proprietary solution, but right. It is disaggregated.
This is all this what you're describing, you know, the openness, the ability to use generic, you know, compute hardware, obviously not only brings the cost down, but it's all open. So there's a lot more flexibility for enterprises to create their custom application quickly and run it obviously very affordably, right? I mean, bottom line, that's what it translates to. Did I get it right?
Absolutely. I mean, all this openness, the edge compute, all these altogether, what it happens is that it reduces the capex, it also reduces the opex. Ultimately, for the customer, it enables to reduce the total cost of ownership of the entire solution.
Right. That's well put. So I have a question, actually. I just thought of something. We talked about radio, right? So the question I have is, if the radio is, can the radio be somebody else's radio? For example, if there's an enterprise, they buy your software, but the radio is, let's say, owned by somebody else. So could you get into an arrangement with them to use their radio to broadcast your 5G waves? Is that possible?
Yes, I mean, that is the power of being open, right? So earlier it was not possible in 4G.
Right.
But with 5G and with private 5G, definitely it's possible. So
I can imagine a scenario where Airtel has an open radio, and if they're agreeable to it, the enterprise that is close to that tower, instead of them buying their own radio, they could come to an arrangement with Airtel and use their antenna to beam 5G, private 5G network in their campus. Is that a feasible option?
I think yes, they have to have an arrangement, like So Airtel would also be providing private 5G networks, right? Like to their enterprises. So it would probably depend upon the mobility. So Airtel, if you have the enterprise has an agreement with the Airtel, it can be in two ways. One is that they become Airtel's customer. In that case, Airtel would like put that radio themselves, and it can be from any OEM, because now it need not be proprietary. Even Airtel would look into a disaggregated solution. They won't take proprietary solution from the OEM. At least definitely over time, they are looking at disaggregated solution. So they can, Airtel can put radio from vendor one, and they can put the software that manages this this RAID from another vendor, and it can run on within the enterprise, and they can, and the core can be from Neural, for example. So right. Again, which is software. So that is one arrangement where Airtel, I mean that enterprise, an enterprise is Airtel's customer. The other way that it may work out is probably if Airtel can, is that enterprise is not Airtel's customer, but that enterprise probably loans the spectrum. Because at this point in India, I mean, the spectrum is kind of probably, once the private 5G is available, initially it will be available to the operator. So it won't be available, operators, and it would also be available to the government, but it may not be available to the private enterprises. But let's say you have a big enterprise, I mean like let's say Bajaj or Godrej, and they create a private 5G. So what they can do is that they probably can come to an agreement with Airtel. I mean, it may be feasible, and they, Airtel gives them a pie of that spectrum, and Airtel also puts the radio within that within Godrej or any of this company. But then, because the enterprise wants to run their own private network, which is not dependent on Airtel, so after that the enterprise can probably take the Neural software from us to do build a core, and then the edge also from the edge application also through our orchestration engine, which can be managed. So they would actually only buy the spectrum and the radio from Airtel, but anything else for the private network, they can put other vendors to build that private 5G network. So that way, 5G network is not connected to the operator's 5G network. It is completely independent.
Right, right. Well, this is what is most exciting about the openness and the everything in software. That's where the term disaggregation is coming, right? You can use one piece from one provider, another piece from another provider, and bring it together and create something. So let's move on to another interesting question, which is, what do you think the size of this market is? And particularly, let's focus on private 5G. We talked about public 5G, but we're focusing on private 5G. So what are we talking about? How big is this market? And give us some idea on how you're arriving at this logic, right? So what do you think?
Yeah, so we have been, I mean, obviously it's a very important question and very pertinent to companies like us. So we have been studying the market. Of course, we have been researching with a lot of research companies to get an idea of the market. But overall, what I feel is that 5G, private 5G would coexist with edge compute. So together, it is the ecosystem. This is what would bring the disruption. So I would say the private 5G with edge, especially for some of the important industries like manufacturing, connected healthcare, transportation, and like monitoring, remote monitoring, banking, etc. Altogether, that market is 500 billion plus. Out of that, I think 40% of that market would be of the industry 4.0 or manufacturing.
Right.
And the interesting part is that this market is growing at a CAGR of almost more than 40% year on year.
Right, the market itself is growing. So private 5G is also obviously growing at that pace. Yeah, that's right. What makes it so exciting. Excellent, excellent. So for turning to neural networks, what are the competitive advantages you have? Because I've seen that this is such a lucrative market. I don't know if the listeners know, a private 5G service is coming out of companies like even AWS, Amazon Web Services. They have what they call 5G as a service, short for 5GAS, but I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it. But yeah, 5G as a service, you can go to Amazon and request it, and they'll send you this hardware, generic hardware that will show up, unpack it, and you download the software from Amazon and you're up and running with 5G. But that's what neural network is also providing. So I want Abhijit to tell us what are the differences, what are the reasons why you want to consider neural networks as opposed to, let's say, 5GAS service from AWS.
Yeah, very, very important question. And yeah, so I think from a competitive advantage wise, so we have like, I get two kind of categories. One is the OEM category and the other is the 5G as a service category. So the OEM category is where the big OEMs come into play. To name them like Ericsson, Huawei, etc., being that category. And of course, now the cloud players are also coming into that category. Like you rightly mentioned, AWS already launched 5G as a service. In fact, a couple weeks earlier, Cisco also launched 5G as a service. And then a company like us, a startup like us. So I think how I see that the market, the big OEMs are targeting the large, especially the operators and the larger enterprises. So now when we come to companies like us, we are targeting mainly the market, which is for the small and medium businesses. And in future, residential to market is where we are targeting. What I feel, as you rightly pointed out, is that AWS would also be targeting all kinds of even the SMBs. So it's very important to understand how do you differentiate from 5G as a service players like AWS. So I think very importantly, 5G. A big company like AWS, who have been providing public cloud, when they have to provide a solution to like to an SME, and for private 5G, and I mentioned earlier, 5G has to work hand in hand with the edge applications too. Now, when you come to any use case for the SMEs where 5G as well as the edge applications come, it would be, when you buy from AWS the service, it would be AWS specific application most of the time. It's not cloud agnostic. So it is important. Right. It is important to be cloud agnostic, right, at this point, because you want it to work with AWS or Azure or Google Cloud with your own data center. So that kind of flexibility we would be given. And the second part is that whenever you do such integration, you need to be open. By open, your API should be working with this application. You cannot be like Azure specific or AWS specific. The other important thing is that you have to enable these companies to integrate the solution, which needs some big technical working hand in hand with the customer to get it working. But when a small SMB wants to do such integration and they get stuck, how do they reach out to AWS and get their professional help? It is extremely difficult to do that. That's where I think we can play a very, very critical and important role. we can enable the enterprises to build their specific uses for the edge using the private 5G through our expertise, and we being startup would be very nimble to provide them the solutioning to enable them to grow and ensure their ROI, they get the right return of investment or the cost saving. And coming to the cost, obviously our solutions, how we are will be positioning ourselves, it would definitely have a cost factor. I mean, our cost would be comparatively less compared to the bigger players.
Right. So yeah, basically in short, you're talking about being cloud agnostic, which is, you know, you're not necessarily getting pushed towards their proprietary or their own data centers or, you know, the cloud compute facilities. With your solution, you know, you have the freedom to use your own or somebody else's. You're completely free to choose. And the other one is obviously you have the expertise for having a personal relationship with the SMB, whereas for an SMB to work with Amazon on such a emerging technology would be tough, right? And last but not least, obviously, is the cost. So let's talk about, what do you see as challenges? You know, where do you see the roadblocks here in terms of enterprises adopting private 5G? And how would you overcome them? Something that you can tell us about?
Yes, I think a very important question. What I have been noticing is that, like, when you talk about private 5G, the education is required. Like, when you talk about our solution to the customers, what they don't really get it is that how 5G can enable the solution. Like, they look at 5G separately and they look at edge or the cloud separately. But what we are trying to educate the customers is about private 5G edge as a solution, which would enable them to run the low latency application or the mission critical application. So I think we are, this is one challenge, basically educating the customers that private 5G has to can be successful only with an edge solution too. So both of them have to come together. You cannot just do private 5G and okay, that would solve my by use case. That's not going to be. It also, you have to basically break your application, which was earlier running on the cloud. It has to come to the edge. So you have to also ensure that the solution comes to the edge. So that we are also educating the customers, thanks to the emerging awareness of 5G among everybody. So I think people are understanding 5G. But getting the edge story is what I think has been a challenge, but now people are getting into that. Like, people are understanding that part.
Right. Hopefully some of them are listening to the podcast and it helps clear some of those concepts, right? What else in this area for challenges other than awareness? Yes.
The other part is about the Wi-Fi. I mean, why Wi-Fi cannot work? I mean, though it's easy to, I mean, tell that private 5G theoretically, it is feasible to reach this kind of milestone. So when we go to the enterprises to talk about this solution, they told them, why can't we do it with Wi-Fi? But the good thing, I think it's a challenge, but it's also easy to explain in some ways, is that, see, Wi-Fi, we predominantly, everybody understands that it really doesn't work outdoor and it covers a very smaller area. So we kind of, when you bring the outdoor story, they kind of understand that, yeah, I mean, Wi-Fi would not scale when it goes outdoor. But they're worried. I mean, most of the IT companies who have invested heavily on Wi-Fi, they're really worried that, okay, we have invested so much money, what would happen if we provide 5G, I mean, But now that's where we are trying to educate. I think mainly is that when you put 5G, you are not like dismantling your Wi-Fi network. Your Wi-Fi network would work hand in hand with your new 5G network. Your 5G network would be used for the mission critical, low latency, and the emerging applications, especially related to operation technology. Whereas your Wi-Fi network would definitely be there, and it would be supporting your existing like IT or like IT work which has been done, or like your video conferencing, web conferencing. All those would still run on the existing Wi-Fi network. Only the operation technology kind of work would be taken care by the private 5G network. So that is one thing we are trying to ensure that the enterprises understand, because they are worried that what would happen to their Wi-Fi network, I think. So that awareness, we are trying to bring it in.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one other idea could be to look at the ROI analysis. You know, what would it save them if they move to, you know, a private 5G compared to how they are trying to do it today, or even create applications that were not possible before, and now that you've created them, you know, how much of an operational cost savings they can get from private 5G. That would convince them, that get them over that. But can you also say something about we talked about it, but just quickly touch upon that is, you know, with private 5G, unlike in Wi-Fi, you have the concept of edge, right? So don't forget, you have the edge of the edge, if I may play some, put a play on words over here. So you know, that's also there. So I think it's been quite exciting. Really nice to have you, Abhijit, and agree to do this podcast for the benefit of explaining what private 5G is. And I'm particularly excited and proud that, you know, in India we have someone like you who has created an entire stack of 5G to compete on the global market here. So I'm sure you are pretty busy with trying to, you know, sell your software all over the world, and any help we can give, would be happy to do that. So in conclusion, Abhijit, I'd like to have you tell our audience how they can find out more about Neeral, about you, or how to get in touch with you. Do you have a website or something you can recommend they can go read and get more educated on 5G and private 5G?
Yes, for private 5G, especially for the private 5G core, when you are, and you as a customer are looking to deploy a private 5G, so we are, Neeral Networks is developing the private 5G core, but we are also connected to partners who provide the radios, so that we can create an end-to-end private 5G solution, and we would also enable you to run the edge application. So whenever you are in need to create a private 5G network, do reach out to us, and our website is www.neeralnetworks.com. So Neeral as in NIRAL networks.com. Of course, we are very much available. We are very much present in the social media, in LinkedIn. Our webpage is there, Neeral Network. You can go there. If you have any queries, you can definitely contact button of our website, and then you can reach out to us, or directly email me at Abhijit, as in Abhijit, at neeralnetworks.com. I would be happy to share our white paper and use case documents with you. Couple of them is already available in the in our website. We have a couple of blogs also in the website which would help you to understand, but to learn in greater details, it would be great, like if we can talk to you. I mean, as a customer or as a partner. So we are looking at both customer as well as partners in India as well as in globally. Feel free to reach out to me, just drop me a note either in my LinkedIn or like just email me at abhijit@neuralnetworks.com. I'd be happy to glad to connect to you and respond to you soon.
Excellent. That was super. I will also put some of the links that Abhijit mentioned in the write-up on the podcast, so you'll be able to find it over there in case you didn't catch it. But I want to take the opportunity to thank you, Abhijit, for taking the time out. I hope this has been interesting for everybody listening in, particularly getting into the depths of how 5G works and particularly how private 5G works and the opportunities it presents for these SMB or the small and the medium-sized enterprise. I mean, that's where the excitement factor is. So great to have you. Thank you again. And we'll talk again. Thank you.
Thank you, Soibal. Hopefully it was good and really liked the conversation with you. Thank you again.
Super.